The Federal Court of Appeals on Wednesday struck down a key pillar of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans agreed with a lower court that the individual mandate was unconstitutional now that Congress removed the penalty that was used to encourage people to purchase health insurance. Our next guest joins us to talk about that ruling and how it could affect health care coverage. Phil Rocco is an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, good to be with you, Rob.
All right, it's a little tangly here, the path through the courts. Can you explain what this court ruling did?
Well, this court ruling struck down the individual mandate in the Affordable Care Act. Remember, that was the part of the law that required people to buy insurance. Now, here's what's confusing about that. Back in 2017, Republicans in the major tax bill that they put through, they already put the penalty for that not buying health insurance to zero. So effectively, people were not having to abide by that mandate. But what really matters about this case is that there's a possibility that if that mandate is determined to be unconstitutional, that the entire law could be unconstitutional. The entire law, which ultimately, if that held, that would mean that 20 million people would lose their insurance nationwide, 153,000 in Wisconsin, 30,000 in Milwaukee. But what the court, the Fifth Circuit Court did this week was that it effectively punted on the question of whether or not the entire ACA could be struck down. So the ACA is still the law of the land.
Right. A previous judge, a lower court, had said, yes, this mandate was unconstitutional, and yes, therefore, the whole of the Affordable Care Act should be struck down. He said it was non-severable, I think is the phrase.
Yes.
And now they're sending it back to that judge to review the bits and pieces. Is that right?
That's right. So effectively, there are two parts of the case, right? The first part of the case is, you know, is the individual mandate constitutional? And, you know, this is a really, really weird sort of aspect of the case. So the appeals court said that the mandate is unconstitutional because it was initially by the Supreme Court back in 2012 upheld as part of Congress's taxing power. Well, now the mandate is set at zero, so it doesn't really work like a tax anymore. But what's confusing about it is the court also said that the reason that the parties were able to sue is because the mandate injured them in some way, so it worked like a command. So it's a very, very convoluted ruling. But the second part of the case is the one that probably most people in the country, regardless of whether or not you directly benefit from the ACA, this is something that affects Medicare reimbursement rates, prohibitions on restrictions on the kind of details on ingredients that restaurants have to provide you on their menus. I mean, it affects a huge part of the economy. The question is whether or not the rest of the ACA is severable from that individual mandate. And what the court here did was sort of punt. They said, well, there's not enough on it for us to go on. And so we're going to ask the judge, Reed O'Connor, who's this conservative judge in at the district level in Texas, we're going to ask him to make a ruling on severability again, which it's almost certain that if the case comes back to him, he will rule that the individual mandate is not severable from the rest of the ACA and strike it down. What Democratic attorneys general around the country have done, though, is they've appealed this to the Supreme Court. And so ultimately, there's a question about whether or not the court is going to take that up. But there are many, many different sort of paths that this decision could take.
Stepping away from this legal tangle now, the state of affairs now is, as you said, the Affordable Care Act still exists. It's still the law of the land. And it's still, as it has been for years, in an uncertain legal future, right?
That's right. I mean, one thing that's important for listeners to know, you can still sign up for insurance plans in the Affordable Care Act. If you're in a state that expanded Medicaid, that will still be in place. You can rely on the fact that the ACA is the law of the land for the time being, but it does create this uncertainty. And I think, you know, politically, that has some complicated effects. So one way of thinking about this is that over the last year, the White House has consistently said that it is trying to develop some kind of alternative to the Affordable Care Act. But within the White House, there's been huge tension between two sort of warring factions, the Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and the Medicare and Medicaid Chief Seema Verma. And there's really been no decision on what the Republican line is, their strategy is going forward. And so you can think about this punting. It sort of buys Republicans time. I mean, if whether or not the Supreme Court takes the appeal or it goes back to Reid O'Connor, it's quite likely that nothing about this will be decided until after the 2020 election. So where Republicans are concerned, you know, this is sort of buying them some time to figure out if they're going to do anything about healthcare or what they're going to do.
Talking to Phil Rocco from Marquette University, looking at a court ruling on the Affordable Care Act. It is still in place, but still faces legal challenges, ongoing legal challenges. Phil, staying with the political fallout here, politically, if a court had said, yeah, oh, the Affordable Care Act is gone and there's no replacement in place, that would have been maybe a political disaster for Republicans. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sort of, if you remember back to the moment when the Senate in the summer of 2017 was debating repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act, that was a point at which the reality of how many people were going to lose insurance was very, very salient. This is something that you could not turn on late night TV without seeing, you know, people talking about it. So the reality of it was becoming very tangible. Should the Supreme Court strike down the ACA, I think that the tangibility of those coverage losses would sort of rear its head again. And I think that that would be pretty politically toxic for Republicans. By contrast, on the Democratic side, it might actually open up a sort of series of political opportunities, especially for people who are pushing for, say, something like Medicare for All. I mean, it would allow them to say, look, this approach to, you know, taking a very incrementalist path towards reform, you know, it was both legally couldn't stand up in the courts, and the reason it couldn't stand up was because of this very politically unpopular thing called the individual mandate.
The weird thing about the Affordable, or sorry, among the weird things about the Affordable Care Act is that you had unpopular parts, as you just said, like the individual mandate and the penalties that are now gone if you didn't get health care. But there are some really popular portions of it, right, that people don't always necessarily associate with the act itself.
Right. And I think that's one of the complicated things. I always like to do the comparison is in 1941, I think, the United States government put out this movie with Warner Brothers about how Social Security works. And you can explain to people how the basics of Social Security, old age and survivors insurance works in like a matter of 5 minutes, like before you would go see a movie at the theater. And with the Affordable Care Act, I mean, it's thousands of pages. It's a very convoluted law. It applies to different people differently depending on your income and also what insurance market you live in. And so the actually getting voters to see what the benefits are sort of taken together is very, very difficult. And it's not just a marketing thing. It's also about how the law is designed. There was this huge push to design the law in a way that would be sort of fiscally neutral, right? It wouldn't increase like the budget deficit. And it would also, I mean, it was very constrained by political realities. Something like the ACA had just passed in a bipartisan way. It was signed by Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. And so there was this idea that by taking this narrow path through the reform, you wouldn't alienate a lot of key constituencies. And I think that some of the vulnerabilities of that strategy have sort of come to light, especially in the last two or so years.
This is going to be a big issue in the presidential race, and we're seeing Democratic candidates talk about what they want for a health care plan. But it's not just about the president, right? I mean, we've seen a Democratic president with a Democratic majority have to fight tooth and nail and make lots of changes to get something passed. Republicans with a Republican majority in both houses and a Republican president couldn't pass a repeal and replace plan. Whoever the next president is, it's not going to be an easy path, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, One way of thinking about this is if you're trying to bet on whether or not any major reform is going to happen, be it healthcare, environment, Social Security, the safe bet is always that it won't happen. That's always a safe bet. And I think especially when it comes to something like health reform, the path before was one of accommodation. The designers of the Affordable Care Act were very, very aware that in the 1990s, the insurance industry, the American Medical Association, had really been pretty successful in campaigning sort of against the law. And so the strategy in 2009-2010 was to really bring in all these stakeholders so that they effectively would help write the law. I think the path here is one that really depends on not sort of triangulating between those interest groups, but actually like building a mass of public support, a sort of overwhelming public support, including from people who already have some form of insurance. And I, historically speaking, if you look at the sort of political science on this, that's always like the coin of the realm or the really the holy grail of health reform. It's something that I think as the costs of healthcare increase and as employers pass along more of those costs to their employees, the nature of employer-sponsored insurance, especially for people who are, you know, entering the labor market now, I think that the idea of employer-sponsored insurance becomes maybe less appetizing or less something that people are, you know, afraid of losing if there's something else in its place that's more comprehensive.
We'll keep watching this, Phil. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
A lot to watch. All right. Good to be with you, Rob.
Phil Rocco is an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. He joined us to talk about a recent federal appeals court ruling that essentially struck down the individual mandate in the Affordable Care Act and what it could mean for the overall plan.